First John chapter 2, we looked at verse 1 last Sunday, which says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." What a wonderful verse that is. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Now, I feel led for us to look at something specifically this morning, and it's from verses 3 to 5. But verse 2 said, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." When you know something of the truth of God's election, if God has revealed the truth of election to us, God choosing a particular people to save, God being gracious to whom he will be gracious, and showing mercy on whom he will show mercy. When you know the truth of those things, which is the truth of God's word, that can be a very confusing verse of scripture. Many verses like that can be very, very confusing. The reason why I want to look at verses 3 to 5 is because we just looked at this subject in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We just looked at this subject of whether or not God will have all men to be saved. Whether or not God wants everybody to be saved. So we're not going to dwell on this verse for the Bible study. But for a reminder of what the truth of the matter is on it, let me quote 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Speaking of God, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth." Well, our Lord would not have Esau to be saved. Our Lord would not have Judas to be saved. Our Lord would not have Pharaoh to be saved. There were whole nations of people that our Lord would not have to be saved. So that's not what that verse means. When verse 2 right here says, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world," our Lord said in John 17, "Father, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world." Particular, chosen, selected, out of, thank God, think about this, out of every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, thank God, every generation, from all over this world. To say that Christ is the propitiation, that means the sin covering, the atonement for the whole world, that means, thank God, it's not just the Jews only. Thank God, he is the sin covering for the Gentiles too. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. His mercy for sinners, Jew sinners and Gentile sinners, it reaches to the uttermost. Because God so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son. Thank God. Thank God. Now, with that being established again, what I want us to see this morning is another statement here that can be hard to understand. We're on the subject of difficult to understand things right here. When we know something of our sinfulness and our inability, this can be hard to understand. Verse 3 says, hereby, and I just want to say before we get into this, this is true. This is so. If God wrote it in this word, this is so. Okay? Verse 3 says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. That's how we know we're in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked, keeping His own commandments. I want us to look this morning at the subject of keeping His commandments. And the reason is because the Scripture means what it says. It means what it says. It says what it means. It means what it says. He said, if we claim to be children of the Father, He is speaking to my little children. Isn't that how He started chapter 2? My little children. If we claim to be children of the Father and don't keep His commandments, He said, we're liars and the truth is not in us. And I'm going to get right to the point on this, because we know that the Scripture says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We know that the Scripture says all of our righteousnesses, all of our good deeds, all our good works are filthy rags. We know that the Scripture says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We know that the Scripture says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. We know that we could not and we cannot keep His commandments. All we can do is sin against His commandments in this flesh, in ourselves. All we can do is sin against His commandments. And here's the reason why. The commandment is not in deed only. The commandment is in thought and desire of the heart. In our sinful state, it is impossible for us to keep the commandments of God in a way and to the standard that God requires us to keep them. It's impossible. It's impossible. That's why Christ had to come. That's the whole reason Christ had to come. It's because we could not keep God's law. That's why Christ had to come. We could only sin against it. So Christ came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. In Matthew 5:17, our Lord said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Christ came and He fulfilled the law for His people. Christ came and kept the commandments for His people. And every time we see a requirement, wherever we are in the Scripture, every time we see a requirement to keep the law laid on us, every time that's laid on us, every time we see this stark reminder, now the law is going to have to be kept. Commandments are going to have to be kept. Every time we see something like that in the Scripture, here's the good news and the relief of the gospel. Okay? Christ came and did that for you. He applied it to you. All right, that's so. Christ came and He did that for you. With that being said, there is one thing here that we do need to realize. 1 John 2 is telling us something. And it's this right here. It's this right here. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 1 says, "For the law." This is talking about the law that we could not keep. The commandments from God to us that we could not do. Okay, that's what this is talking about. Therefore, look at verse 9. It says, Then said Christ, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." All right, now that's the key to what 1 John 2 is talking about. Christ fulfilled the law of commandments for us. He delivered us from the curse of breaking that law of commandments. But He did not leave us without commandments. He took away the first, and He established the second. All right? The second set of commandments for us. And here's what they are. On three separate occasions, God the Father spoke out loud from heaven to us. In those three occasions, He gave three separate commandments to us. Our text in 1 John said we have an advocate with the Father. My little children, we have an advocate with the Father. Hereby we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, the Father's commandments. It said, little children, if we say that we belong to the Father and we don't keep His commandments, we're liars and the truth is not in us. But if we keep the Father's commandments, the love of God is perfected in us, and this is how we can know that we're in Him. Look at Matthew 7 with me. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He said, that's it. That's how you can know who the people of God are. They keep His commandments. They do the will of the Father by the grace of God, by the will of God, by the work of God. It's God which works in us both to will and do of His good pleasure. But they keep His commandments. They do the will of the Father. All right? What are His commandments? What has the Father commanded to us? The first time that the Father spoke out loud was at the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. Okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3:13 says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I'll tell you that that is not just an announcement of favor. That's not just an announcement of favor. That's the declaration of the gospel. God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." He's telling everybody this. In Him, I'm well pleased. Know this. This is Him. This is the promised one. This is the Son of God. In Him, in whom I am well pleased. I love how Luke's account words it. Look with me at Luke chapter 3. Luke 3, verse 21 says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased.'" That's the gospel. That is the gospel. What was the Father saying to us in that announcement? That declaration of Christ, the gospel of Christ. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He was saying, believe on Him. Believe on Him. This is my Son. This is the sent one. Believe on Him. In Him, I'm well pleased. Here's the announcement of the gospel. In Him, I'm well pleased. Outside of Him, I'm angry. Outside of Him, my wrath is kindled. My wrath against sin is kindled. But in Him, I am well pleased. Believe on Him. Bow to Him. Worship Him. Come to Him. Believe on Him. This is my Son. Believe on Him. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6:28, it says, "Then said they unto him, 'What shall we do that we might work the works of God?'" What are the works of God? What do we need to do in order to work the works of God? Verse 29. "Jesus answered and said unto them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent.'" He said, that's the commandment of the Father. That's the work that He commands. Believe on Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a commandment. That's not an invitation. That's a commandment. From the Father to us, believe on Him. The second time that the Father spoke out loud was in the middle of the Lord's ministry. And we're actually going to look at this account in just a minute in the message. But in Mark chapter 9, turn over to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, verse 2 says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he knew not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Hear him, and him alone. It's his word alone, his authority alone. Let him be true and everyone else be a liar. Hear every word that has proceeded out of his mouth. Hear him. Hear him. What has he said? He said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Hear him. The Father said, Believe on him. This is the one. Believe on him and hear him. That's the Father's commandment to us. Believe on him. Hear him. The third time that the Father spoke out loud was at the end of the Lord's ministry, as he was headed to the cross. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 12. John 12, verse 27 says, Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, glorify thy name. And the Father cried out loud from heaven, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. The Lord said, That voice did not ring out for my sake. He said, That was for you. That was for you. That was for your sake. That you might know the glory of the cross. The glory that the Father has commanded. And the Son has earned by the sacrifice of himself for the sin of his people. In all of it, he gets the glory. In all of it, he gets the glory. Because of that salvation, the Father has commanded 3 things of us. And again, if we do these 3 things, it's God which works in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. And he gets the credit. But these are the commandments of the Father. Believe on Christ, hear Christ, glorify Christ. When we read scriptures like 1 John 2 and Matthew 7, it means what it says. When it says, this is the evidence of how you can know you belong to me, it means what it says. This is how you can know that you're one of his. He said, you will keep his commandments. And these are the commandments. When you read that, if that's confusing to you, just remember it's always about Christ. It's always concerning Christ. Believe on Christ, hear Christ, glorify Christ. Christ satisfied the law of commandments, and He established the Father's commandments to His people. He said, anyone who says he or she is one of mine and does not believe on Christ and hear Christ and glorify Christ is a liar and the truth is not in him. But he or she that does believe on Christ, hear Christ, glorify Christ, the love of God is perfected in that person, and that soul belongs to me. That soul is mine. So, may God give us the ability to keep His commandments. Believe on Christ. Hear Christ. Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. All right.